even north of Damascus. They're going to hire from Maacah, which is up in the Golan Heights, and Ish-Tob, which is also up there in the Golan Heights. And they're going to bring them all down to Rabbah. Verse 7, now when David heard of it, when he hears that these Ammonites not have only embarrassed their guys, but they're pushing for a fight, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the city. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth Rehob, Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. So the idea is that the Ammonites have their own army, and they are stationed at the gates of Rabbah. While they put the Syrians out in the field to guard the flanks of the city. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. Joab finds out that he's ended up being outflanked, and he's got guys in front of him and guys behind him. And he comes up with a plan, and he picks out the finest of the troops, and he's going to put them against the hired guns, the ringers, the Syrians. And the rest, which is a bigger force but not quite as well trained, he's going to put them against the guys at the front of the city, the Ammonites. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. So he puts, the lesser experience of his forces against the Ammonites at the city gates. Then he said, this is what he says to his brother, if the Syrians are too strong for me, because he takes on the harder thing. He's got he's got all the SEAL teams with him on his side, and the Green Berets, and the Rangers are all under him. Smaller force, better force, but he's going to take on the harder fighters. He says, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage. Let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is right in his sight. The picture is that it's kind of like two guys who are going to fight against the world, and they're fighting back to back. You know, they've got their backs to each other. So Joab's army is facing one direction to hit the Syrians, and Abishai's army is facing the other direction to face the Ammonites. And whoever gets in trouble more, they're going to yell out, and they're going to, you know, come and help each other out. And there's a good lesson there, gang, that we ought to be fighting for each other instead of against each other. We are all on the same team, and it's easy to get turned around. It's easy to get mad at each other, but we're all on the same team. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's what fellowship is supposed to be about. That's what the church ought to be about. We ought to be fighting for each other. It's easy to get tripped up. It's easy to get offended. We end up fighting against each other, but we're supposed to be on each other's side. We are stronger against the enemy when we are together than when we are separate. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the dew from Hermon. It's like the oil dripping down Aaron's head, down his beard. Was like a picture of the Holy Spirit. When we are working together, fighting back to back instead of face to face, then it's good. The enemy, it's easier to defeat the enemy when we're fighting him than fighting each other. And he says to his brother, let us be strong for our people. I call this principle man up. Now, I know there's commercials out there. I'm not going to show the beer commercials because I don't like the beer commercials. But what a great principle. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and the New American Standard, the New American Standard, has it right in this translation. The other ones are kind of goofy. New American Standard says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. When did that phrase, act like men? Actually, the Greek there The word man is it's a verb. Be a man. Be a man. Now, ladies, don't get offended at that. It's a guy thing. I think sometimes us guys have lost what it means to act like men.
Metrosexuals. Sheesh. Just when you thought you've seen it all, men who are more pampered than their girlfriends. Manicures, pedicures, matching belts, shoes, and watches. Please, I'm all for feeling good, but just give me my brute, and I'll feel good the old-fashioned way and leave the pampering for my wife. Brute, the essence of man.
Man up. You know, and gentlemen, let me at least say this to you guys: we need to be men. We need to be strong. The world has a bit of confusion about this, and I just love this example. This is one of the times Joab's got it right. He says, "Brother, you need me. I'll stand with you. Yeah, and I need you. You stand with me. Let's be strong. Let's fight for our people." I love that. Verse 13. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. He didn't need his brother's help. And when the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. Then Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river. That's all the way out to the Euphrates. And they came to Helam, and Shobach, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. Now, Hadadezer, he's the king of Zobah. He's a Syrian king. David already defeated him back in chapter 8. But now he's out helping the Ammonites. He's out rebelling against David. And he's going to confront David directly. And there's going to be a battle now at Helam. There's Rabbah down here on the south. Here's Damascus. And Helam is up here in the middle. Where is it? There's Helam. It's going to appear. There it is, Helam. It's between Damascus and Rabbah. And Hadadezer, who's one of the big kings of the area, he's going to try to take on David himself. Verse 17, all by himself. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians, and struck Shobach, the commander of their army, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. We're just kind of like, we're not going to help you anymore. This is not good for our health. They made peace with Israel. So there's going to be peace between Israel and the Syrians for now. The battle with the Ammonites actually isn't finished. If you remember what we just read, the Ammonites have all retreated inside of the city. And they've kind of left the city alone for now. The battle for Rabbah will happen at the end of chapter 12, which I think means we will do that next week. 9, 10, 11, 12. We will do chapter 12 next week. So they haven't actually finished things off yet. You could kind of make a point that this is about the best that it ever gets for David. Oh my gosh. He has taken on all these enemies. These incredible, incredible victories. David is about to have the biggest defeat of his life. He's about to have the biggest fall in the life of David. When we think of David, and you think of the big sin in David's life, What do you think of? David and Bathsheba. That happens next. David's at the peak of his career. He's taken on his enemies. He's conquered everything. Conquered to the left, conquered to the right, conquered up, conquered down. He's kind of beat the Ammonites back into their city. They've conquered the Syrians up north, for Pete's sake. They tried to come back at him again. He knocked them down on their face again. And now he's going to kind of take it easy for a while. And he's going to get himself into trouble. When you experience times of victory, times of blessing, we need to keep cultivating humility. Our need for the Lord. It's okay to have the party and the high fives and the, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm not trying to make us always look out on our guard for, you know, and get paranoid about the next attack and all this kind of stuff. But I know in my life I get these certain things where I go, wow, this is just awesome. We're just doing great. We're doing wonderful. And then right on my face. We were singing tonight. This is the air I breathe, your presence. Your word is my daily bread. I am desperate for you. We want to keep cultivating that, our need for the Lord, so that we go from victory to victory and not get caught up and tripped by getting overconfident and unaware that, hey, we're going to be facing battles till we go to heaven. So, God help us. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the great principles, the great pictures in it. Lord, I love how consistent you are in the Old and the New Testaments. You're not a different God in the New Testament. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are a God of grace, of kindness, chesed. Your people are people of chesed. May they know we are Christians by our love. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you.